and 10 WOR presents the Mark Simone Show. Now sitting in for Mr. New York, here's Larry Menti.
And proud to be sitting in on the Voice of New York 710 WOR for the great Mark Simone. The number to call in, and I really want to get your thoughts on what I'm about to tell you. 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Because I know many of you are still holding out hopes that in Nevada, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, they're going to uncover more Trump votes or definitive proof that will turn the election and give it to Donald Trump. It looks less and less likely that is going to happen. I was in for Mark a couple of weeks ago, and I told you then, and I know some of you were very upset with me. I told you then that there's not enough time, there's too many states. Now look, there's going to be hearings in the future. Court cases will continue. And maybe, we'll be able to fix problems for the future. I'm not saying there's no problems. I'm not saying that there may be enough votes out there that were tinkered with. We just don't have the time right now. And they knew that. When they set this up, when they set up the universal mail-in ballots, they knew that. But there's a bigger story out there. A more pervasive, nationwide, deliberate effort to steal the election from President Donald Trump, and it's not getting enough attention. It has nothing to do with ballots, machines, or Election Day. The election was stolen from Trump before Election Day by the media and big tech, and now, this is what's not getting enough attention, there's proof of that. The majority of the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, the major newspapers like the New York Times, ignored stories that would help Trump in the last few months before the election. Purposely, like a team of Biden supporters, ignored those stories. And then big tech worked with them hand in hand to censor anyone who tried to distribute those stories on their own on social media platforms. You know all this. You know about this. But here's the interesting part. The Media Research Center studied the effect of this censorship along with the polling company who did the work for them, who talked to over 1,700 people, 1,750 to be exact, in seven swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The big seven, the ones that determine the election. They found out that 82% of Biden voters were unaware of many stories that were either positive for Trump or negative for Biden. Didn't know a thing about them. And the biggest takeaway from the survey is that once they heard the stories, 17% of Biden voters say they would not have voted for Biden had they known details of one or more of the censored stories. Think about what 17% means. It means Donald Trump wins by a landslide. That is how dangerous a biased media is. That's how dangerous it is when we allow big tech to grow so huge that they can make their own rules and are above government oversight. Now, for instance, that 17% we're talking about, that would have given Donald Trump all seven of the swing states that I mentioned. I want to go through some of the details of this so you know exactly what we're talking about. I believe this is that big of a story. More than one third, 35% to be exact, of Biden voters were unaware of the sexual assault allegations brought by former Senate staffer Tara Reid against Joe Biden. 9% of those voters said that if they knew about those allegations, they would have not voted for Biden. Most of them women, which was the core of Biden's support. That story, if you remember, was discredited or not played by most in the media. 45% didn't know about and never heard about the Hunter Biden scandal. 45%, almost half of Biden voters, knew nothing about Hunter Biden and his deals with Ukraine. Had Biden supporters been exposed to the Hunter Biden story, over 9% of those voters said they would not have supported the Democratic candidate. But it wasn't just censorship of Biden bad news, but of positive news for Donald Trump. That was just as pervasive. That meant just as much. Now, you'll remember on October 2nd, a record 11 million jobs were created in an extraordinary comeback during the pandemic. 39% of Biden voters didn't know about it at all. The viewers of CNN and MSNBC didn't know about that. If they had, over 5% said not only would they not have voted for Biden, they would have voted for Trump. That swing would have given President Trump, that swing alone, would have given President Trump Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Trump would have won the election with 295 electoral votes. This poll is stunning news and shows the effects on our democracy when media conspires to take down the president of the United States. And it's that evil. They were attempting to and doing everything they could to take down a president of the United States by censoring the news. Same thing with foreign policy. Donald Trump received 3 nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize for stunning peace agreements between Israel and its Arab neighbors. Remember when peace in the Middle East was such huge news? The Camp David Accords. Front page everywhere, lead stories everywhere. Not this time, because it was Donald Trump. They changed the rules for Donald Trump. 43.5% of Biden voters had no idea that any of those peace deals happened. 5% of Biden voters would have voted for Trump had they known what he did. That's what happens when all of the major networks and cable operations like CNN and MSNBC censor the news. It is malpractice, journalistic malpractice. It is dangerous and it's seditious. How dare they now say that Donald Trump going to court is undermining democracy? Everything he has done is completely constitutional and is very much an important aspect of democracy. The ability to legally challenge the results of election when you feel as if you were wronged is your right. But purposely censoring the news to achieve a political outcome is a violation of the Fourth Estate, a violation of the journalistic creed to report facts without fear or favor, and is an evil, even treasonous, undermining of democracy. It's a manipulation of the First Amendment, freedom of press, and freedom of speech. The poll continues. Over 50% of Biden voters didn't know that we became energy independent under Trump and became a net exporter of oil because of pipeline projects like the Keystone Project and offshore drilling and fracking. 6% of those Biden voters would have voted for Donald Trump had they known. Again, this poll is stunning and exposes the dangers of media bias. CNN, MSNBC, they should be ashamed. Ashamed. You know, I know some of the people there. There are good people working there. But they want to save their jobs. They have to fall in line. They have to try to one-up each other and make people that come on that program that are Trump supporters look bad. You've seen them go after them. That's because that's an edict from above. It doesn't, they don't put it in writing. They just congratulate people that do it well. And they don't say anything to people who do non-biased interviews. Finally, there's the vaccine, an Operation Warp Speed that will deliver vaccine doses to Americans in record time and save millions of lives. They couldn't talk about that. No, they couldn't talk about that because Donald Trump's a killer. He's the COVID-19 killer. He killed all these people by not taking this seriously enough. Remember, that was issue number one. And I know people that believe that. You could present them with facts and all the things Donald Trump did. And they go, no. I heard it on CNN. He's a killer. He just was playing golf and people were dying. Really? Because I remember when he shut off travel to China and then to Europe. And I remember Dr. Fauci saying that saved hundreds of thousands of lives. And he did that early. And I remember Nancy Pelosi saying that he was racist because he did that. And Joe Biden saying that. I remember all of that. But you really think he purposely killed all those people? Really? Because the mortality rate in the United States is much lower than most other countries. Oh, no. More people died here than anywhere else. But because we have more people. 36% of Biden voters had no idea what role the administration had in getting rid of legislative roadblocks and prepaying billions of dollars for research and doses to get the vaccine in record-setting, record-crushing time. Again, over 5% of Biden voters that didn't know that about the vaccine would have voted for Trump had they known. You put all those issues and polling together, and the media research group found that 17% of Biden voters would have either voted against Biden or stayed home or switched their vote to Donald Trump. In either case, Donald Trump would have won the election by a landslide. The fact that he was able to get 73 million votes, that's a miracle. Considering the glaring evidence that ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and other wannabes across the country were working for and with the Trump campaign, with the Biden campaign, working for and with the Biden campaign to defeat Donald Trump. And lastly, it wasn't just big media. Of course, it was big tech that was working for the Democrats as well. I know that they love to get up in front of the Senate and deny they had any effect. They blame their algorithms. They were off. They were wrong. Bad algorithms. But Trump supporters tried to promote and get out the truth of many of the issues I listed. Hunter Biden, the vaccine progress, the Middle East deals, and more on social media only to be censored. So if the media wasn't covering those stories and Trump supporters had nowhere to go to get the word out to independent voters, the election was rigged. This is a huge story. For instance, Trump and his campaign, they were censored 262 times during the campaign by Twitter. Now take a guess how many times Biden and the Biden campaign were censored. Give up? Not once. Zero. And it wasn't just the president and his staff. News outlets like the New York Post, Breitbart, OAN News, Republican politicians, all censored if they tried to pass on information negative about Biden or positive about Trump. You know, the media keeps saying that Trump is undermining the democracy because he's challenging the vote. But that's very much a part of democracy. Democracy can be messy. Democracy can be ugly. But there are mechanisms in the Constitution to air grievances in the courts that are very much part of democracy. Joe Biden is going to be sworn in, and democracy will have worked again. I don't understand what the problem is. But the media has hypocritically undermined democracy on their own by using the protection of the Constitution to pervert journalism. Take down a sitting president. That's evil. It is embarrassing to me as a journalist. And it must be changed by good people who care more about the truth and the future of journalism and democracy. I'd love to hear what you think. 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. This is Larry Menti in for Mark Simone on The Voice of New York, 710 WOR. Proud to be here on The Voice of New York. The number to call in is 800-321-0710. If you missed the last segment, I went through what I believe is stunning news that's not getting enough coverage. The Media Research Group asked Biden voters if they had heard about certain stories about Hunter Biden, about Tara Reid, if they had heard about how much the economy has bounced back, if they had heard about the Middle East peace deals. Most of them, or a large percentage of them, I shouldn't say most, sometimes as high as 50%, usually about 30%, knew nothing about it. And they told the pollsters, had they known about it, they would not have voted for Joe Biden. And in many cases, they would have voted for Donald Trump. That would have flipped the election. That's how the election was stolen. Bill from Connecticut, you're on The Voice of New York, 710 WOR. Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there is that Bill?
This is Bill from Norwalk. Is that who you're looking for?
Yeah, that's who I'm looking for.
Okay, well, I'm here. Notwithstanding the lack of attention that we Trump supporters got from the fake news, it was a lot more than that. This election was stolen. Notwithstanding, as I say, the lack of attention, I don't know if you saw the rallies that President Trump had. I watched many of them. I saw as many as 67,000 people at one rally. Joe Biden and Harris couldn't get 200 people together if they gave out pretzels. I mean, they had very little coverage at the end.
No, it was amazing. It was the most bizarre campaign in modern history that Joe Biden ran. He just stayed in the basement, wanted to stay out of the way, wanted to show that he was alive every once in a while so he would actually come out. But, Bill, you're right. I mean, it is bizarre, and the fact that he won does make you suspect something. But that research we saw that I just read to you about how the media affected this election, to me, is something that has to be dealt with. They should be reporting the facts. All sides, both sides, report the facts. Let people decide. William from Yonkers, you're on The Voice of New York, 710 WOR. Hi, William.
I've got a proposal for a story the media could not possibly ignore.
Okay.
Do you remember when Ford pardoned Nixon, the hubbub it created?
Of course,
for
yes.
For any crimes he might have committed? Well, we know that a honest Justice Department would be indicting both Biden and Hunter. So I suggest as a Christmas present, President Trump give Joe Biden and Hunter their pardon for any crimes they might have committed.
You know, can I tell you something, William? That's politically brilliant. And it's politically brilliant because it would make Donald Trump seem altruistic, seem like he can reach across party lines, that, you know, for the good of the country, I'm doing this. But at the same time, he brings up the issue again, knowing that it's never going to be dealt with under a Biden administration. But it's out there. And then people will have to cover it, including MSNBC and CNN. They would have to cover that. That's some political strategy right there. Hey, have you noticed? I'm sure you've noticed. You've looked at your 401k. The stock market went crazy, breaking yet another record under Donald Trump. In a moment, we're going to talk about what caused that and what you can do to profit from it with a stock expert. That's next on The Voice of New York, 710 WOR.
All right, Larry, good afternoon.
News with Joe Bartlett. Hey, Joe, how are you? Sorry about that.
Hello. Good, Larry. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Well. Happy to be here on the Voice of New York, 710 WOR, in for the great Mark Simone. 1-800-321-0710 is the phone number to call in. Hey, did you notice the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial, broke 30,000? A new milestone, a new record. Donald Trump noticed. This is what he said yesterday.
The stock market's just broken 30,000. Never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. That's the ninth time since the beginning of 2020. And it's the 48th time that we've broken records in during the Trump administration.
It's a pretty amazing streak. All of those records broken during the Trump administration. I don't think, I'd have to look back. I really haven't studied this, but I don't think any president over 4 years has broken those stock market records as much as Donald Trump has. It just kept going up and going up and going up. What was amazing to me, though, is everybody fought for credit. Donald Trump came out, made that announcement, dropped the mic, and then walked out. Wouldn't take any questions. Good for him. Because they were yelling, why don't you concede? You're ruining democracy. You're ruining democracy. That's the new theme. That's the new talking point. But then the Democrats came out and said, no, it was the election of Joe Biden. It was the fact that there's the transition is now happening. Well, the election happened a while back. No, it's his cabinet picks. His cabinet picks were so exciting. Everybody said they were boring. They were so exciting, the stock market took off. But this is why I thought of Thomas Hayes right away. Thomas Hayes is the chairman and managing member of Great Hill Capital, and he's wonderful with the media as well. Better with stocks, wonderful with the media. We have Thomas Hayes on the line right now. So, Thomas, what is it? What caused the stock market to go up past 30,000?
Well, Larry, it's great to be with you. Thanks for the introduction. This was really swift action from Secretary Mnuchin and Chair Powell in the month of March. They effectively saved us from a Great Depression. If we look at the amount of global coordinated fiscal and monetary policy, it's now in the neighborhood of about $20 trillion. And that's really just to solve a $3.6 trillion GDP contraction. So we're starting to feel the lagged effects of all of that policy that went into place in the spring, and it's showing up in the stock market numbers. And it's going to continue, Larry. There will be no Grinch this year for Christmas, and Santa Claus is coming to town. And here's why. Seasonally, 90% of the time in the last 25 years, the stock market is up between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we should get another few weeks. Certainly the 30,000 has brought in a lot of attention to the market. It may bring some money off the sideline. So that's kind of the nutshell of where we've come. I can talk to you a little bit about where we're going.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that in a second, but it's not the vaccine. I thought the vaccine news is what was driving everything.
Well, that's in the short term. So that's number one is we've got now three vaccines, over 90% efficacy. It's a return to normal. But as you know, Larry, the market is a discounting mechanism. So the stock market knew it rallied, 100% off the bottom. It knew that the vaccine was coming. The good news is the efficacy is much higher than anticipated, and it came much sooner than expected. Most institutional managers were looking for an announcement in Q1. We're going to start vaccinations as soon as December 12th. So that's a very, very positive thing, and we're seeing that reflected in the market. And it looks like by May, they're now anticipating May may be the period that we can have herd immunity. So the stock market's starting to discount that forward economic growth, the impact of the money supply increase that went into this, and we're going to grow probably at 6% GDP. It'll be the fastest economic growth in about 35 years next year. And the vaccine is obviously a key component to that, bringing back all of the laggard sectors that have been left behind.
Thomas Hayes, chairman and managing member of Great Hill Capital, talking about the stock market hitting 30,000 yesterday. A lot of people said that one of the drivers for that was the fact that Janet Yellen was coming back, or was rumored to come back, as Fed chair. Any truth to that?
Yeah, there's an element of that's very positive, because we just didn't know how this administration was going to go. If you'd had an Elizabeth Warren, she would start cracking down on banks, which would limit credit growth, which is critical for a sustained expansion and a recovery. So to see Janet Yellen, the market is very comfortable. She was a very good chairperson of the Fed, and I think that put people at ease. So far, the cabinet appointments have been very moderate, very experienced, and the market likes that sense of normalcy and no outlier extremists being appointed at the moment.
So an Elizabeth Warren appointment to any position, Consumer Affairs, Secretary of Treasury, God forbid, that would be have a negative effect on the stock market?
Yeah, there's no question about it. But they're not going to give up her Senate seat, so that's something that's a lower probability, which is very good news. I think the other thing we have to look forward to very carefully, Larry, is the January 5th runoff. Now, the odds favor that it will remain status quo. The Republicans will keep control of the Senate. But that's a key reason that you've seen a huge rally in the stock market since the election, when the Republicans held the Senate, because divided government or gridlock is historically, over the last 100 years, the most favorable environment for the stock market, and particularly this year, because the implication, if there was a blue wave, is that the corporate tax rate would have gone from 21% to 28%. That would have taken $20 off of S&P earnings, and you would have probably had a 15 to 20% plus correction. Since we've held the Senate, the corporate tax rate will stay at 21%, and that's why the market is really moving ahead. So you don't want to see any negative surprises on January 5th, and it certainly doesn't look like we're going to see that. So that's very bullish moving forward.
Thomas Hay is once again chairman and managing member of Great Hill Capital. I was just going to bring up the corporate tax rate, and you got to it already. Is there anything else out there? Now, I know we're looking at lots of positive news coming ahead, and that's great news for the stock market. Not only do you have the Senate up there as a firewall, but as you mentioned, the unemployment rate will continue to shrink as we head some normalcy. The vaccine will be out. The GDP is going to grow. How could Joe Biden screw this up?
Well, it's going to be very difficult for him to screw it up. And, you know, the stage is set. We saw continuing claims this morning. They came down, last print was 6.37 million. They came down to 6.07 million, which is going to bode very well for the jobs report next Friday. We could see the unemployment rate now drop from 6.9%, maybe to 6.7%, maybe below 6.5%. And no one would have anticipated that. And one of the key themes that I'm looking at here in what I do is, you know, while the easy money may have been made in the general indices off the bottom in the short term, there's tremendous opportunity in some of the left behind sectors, the laggard sectors like banks, like defense stocks, and like energy. And that's where we're focusing a lot of our effort. They've been up between 25 to 35% since the election. They're going to continue to rally relative to tech, which was the leader during the coronavirus period. They've only been up 10 to 15%. And what's basically happening, it's simple supply and demand, Larry. During COVID, in a slow growth environment, managers have to find those small pockets of growth that can work even when the economy is growing slowly. Now that the economy is going to be explosive growth, 6% plus, 22% earnings growth, we have many, many more options where we can purchase earnings growth because GDP is going to grow so fast. And that's why some of these left-behind sectors, there's still a lot of opportunity. So for people who feel they've been left behind, oh my goodness, the Dow's now over 30,000, there are very great opportunities that can be as good, if not better, than having bought the indices in late March and early April. So you just have to be selective, and there's tremendous opportunity moving forward. The best analogy I would give, Larry, this is a new business cycle. And if you remember in summer of 2009, the market had rallied tremendously off those March lows. You remember the ominous 666 in the S&P 500. They similar new business cycle rally, and everyone thought after such a big rally, 80-plus percent in a short period of time, it was all over. And the fact of the matter is, it was just getting started. This is a new business cycle. We've gone from two quarters of negative GDP growth due to COVID. We just had our first big 33% GDP annualized print for the most recent quarter, and we're going to continue to grow. So the outlook is bright. You've got 85 million millennials starting housing formation. You're seeing them snap up the houses all over the place. And that's going to continue, and this is going to be a very, very positive roaring 20s moving forward. And I don't think
I'm only laughing here. I'm only laughing here, Thomas, because you're so good at this. But we're running out of time, and I just want to get, if I can,
yeah.
Can you give me a couple stocks?
I'll tell you what we own. You know, people should definitely talk to their financial advisors. I'll talk about some of the key ones we own in those three areas. And banks, you know, basket of Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citi, defense stocks. We own Raytheon, General Dynamics. And then energy, you really have to be the highest quality. Energy's had its best month in history. The highest quality, because the lower qualities are going to go bankrupt with more drilling regulations, but the big ones are going to gain share. You know, the Exxons, the Chevrons, the ConocoPhillips. Talk with your financial advisor, but there's tremendous opportunity in some of those stocks that have lagged this year that are going to lead next year.
Thomas Hayes, chairman and managing member of Great Hill Capital. Always great when he's on the radio or TV, and always gracious with his time. Thomas, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Larry. Happy Thanksgiving.
So there you go. Exxon, Bank of America. There's some stock tips from you. He works with big companies and gives them the tips. So I think he's always reluctant, but he came forward with it and told you where you should be putting your money. How about that? Nothing but clear skies ahead, rosiness ahead. When we come back, I want to talk about hypocrisy. It has run rampant over the last few weeks. We'll dig into it. When the Mark Simone Show continues, Larry Menti filling in on the Voice of New York, 710 WOR.